This is Street Knowledge with Chris Graham.
Welcome to the podcast, Chris Graham and Rod Mullins, and we're going to talk NASCAR. We had a big race this past weekend in Kansas. Brad Keselowski gets the win. And let's start there, Rod. Take us into Kansas. Brad Keselowski gets the win. We have a lot of things we're going to talk there, but let's start with the win by Keselowski and sort of the highlights there at the top of the race.
Well, Brad Keselowski, he earned his third win of the season for Penske Motorsports. It's a great testament to the way that Team Penske is running right now, because Brad Keselowski winning his third race of the season. Joey Logano, although finishing 15th in the race on Saturday night, he took over the lead in the Cup fourth standings, and so now he leads Kyle Busch, who finished 30th by 9 points in the overall standings. It was a great race all together. Of course, it did go to overtime before it was decided, but Keselowski really put together a great run. He's now tied with Busch for a series leading 3 wins apiece in the first 12 races of the season. And then, of course, the top 10 being comprised of 7 Chevrolets, 2 Fords, 1 Toyota, and that was third place Eric Jones. But the big news, I guess, out of this was Alex Bowman, Hendrick Motorsports driver. He reported his third consecutive runner-up finish. Kyle Busch, of course, failed to set a record for top 10 finishes. But still, Bowman is starting to come alive now as a race car driver. He kind of went through his first season last year, filling in place and going in place of Dale Earnhardt Jr. But I think he has stepped into his stride now, especially this season. And he's running up at the front. And then, of course, Chase Elliott had another good race, too. So the Hendrick cars are at the front. They have started kind of regaining that momentum that Chevrolet has needed. But I'm telling you, Team Penske right now with the Fords, Joe Gibbs, with the Toyotas, they're definitely asserting why they should be considered the top teams right now in the sport of NASCAR.
Yeah, you talked about – let's talk more about Kyle Busch. You mentioned the record that he fell short of setting, I guess. Talk more about that, what happened. He did finish the race, but obviously he finished outside of the top 10, which is significant here.
Yeah, and you know, this is a season, I think, that more than anything else, for Kyle Busch, a lot of things have gone his way so far of the season. You know, everybody's talked about the 200 wins, which are 200 wins overall and so forth, but he came up short on something. And that was having amassed 11 consecutive top 10 finishes to start a season, which would have tied him, by the way, with one of the legends, Morgan Shepherd, who originally set the record back in 1990. So about 29 years ago, that's when that record was set. But the thing is, what happened was Busch's chances of getting that record ended after contact 20 laps from the scheduled finish. With Eric Jones, of all people, which we'll talk a little bit more about Eric Jones here in just a minute. But his teammate kind of pinched him into the right side of Clint Boyer's car, cut a tire down on Kyle Busch's Toyota, forcing him to go to pit road and had to get new tires. He came back on the pit road a few laps later for an undisclosed situation, but he finished the season low 30th. And he, of course, as I mentioned earlier, had lost the lead in the Cup standing. As Joey Logano now takes over the number one spot. So, you know, a season that had been going quite his way, you know, he proved a little bit of kryptonite got thrown into Superman's way, and it kind of took him down this time around, and it was his own teammate to beat off that kind of made that mistake of causing the problem for Kyle Busch.
Yeah, you talk Eric Jones, popular guy after this weekend, not only the Kyle Busch, but also Clint Boyer upset with Eric Jones, and this was a little later in the race.
Yeah, this was one of those things of where Eric Jones, if he thought he was going to get through as the young buck and the young gun coming through, and he was going to have his way in Saturday night's race, Clint Boyer was not going to have any part of it. You were on Clint Boyer's home ground. You were in Kansas. You were racing, and Clint Boyer wanted a good finish. He wanted the chance to either win that race or at least come in there in the top five. And, you know, he said afterwards, after the contact had happened, he said, you know, that could have been a second place, a good, strong second place finish for us. We should have finished second out of it. But what Jones did, you know, Jones was second at the time. He had taken the high line on the track, and then he cut down to the bottom of the track to block Boyer, which, you know, in some ways you look at that and you're saying, okay, you're going to protect every bit of turf you've got on the track, and you're wanting to keep somebody from coming up through there to take over one of your positions. I can't blame him in that respect. He did. He cut down to the bottom of the track. He blocked Boyer. Then Boyer shot to the top. Jones went up to block him there again. So Jones ended up falling to third, tying his season best finish. Boyer finished fifth, even though he did finish in the top five. But, you know, Boyer came to Eric Jones's car there on the cool-down lap. He tapped him a couple of times, and then he went and visited him off pit road. He told him, he said, you know, you shouldn't have done that more than anything else. And then Fox Sports 1 reported that Boyer just said that was dumb on his part. He said, I guess that's what he wants, wreck in front of the field. He said, I should have wrecked him, I guess. And then he ended the conversation, and Boyer said, he never won a race at a cup race at his home track. He later said, more than anything else, that pisses me off. And I can't blame him in one way. It would be that way, but it was almost like both drivers wanted to engage each other, but they didn't want to end up with the final finish, what would have been of a wreck. Surely, goodness, that's what would have probably happened. But you can't blame Eric Jones for trying to protect his line and trying to keep somebody from coming up on him. You can't blame Boyer at the same time for trying to race Jones hard and trying to get that position. Both of them should have just got there with the whole thing and just said, you know, it's a racing deal. Both of them need to calm down. And Jones later said, you know, I'd be mad if I was him too. But again, Eric Jones said, it's just racing. And I don't know if you caught it or not, except the run back of the video and so forth. Joe Gibbs was talking to Eric Jones at the end of the race and trying to calm him down a little bit. And I think he was trying to tell him, you know, hey, you're not going to win this fight against Clint Boyer. Let's just go on and move on to the All-Star race coming up in Charlotte this coming weekend.
I got a big smile on my face. This is what I like. You don't climb into a fire suit, climb into your car, drive 200 miles an hour around a track. It's not like going to the grocery store to pick up a few, pick up bread and milk. I mean, it's they're competing, and they're competing. So they shouldn't be happy with each other when things happen, and things are going to happen. And this is when NASCAR's at its best. So I want to pick up on that theme. What were some of the other things being said in the garage afterwards, after the race this past weekend?
Well, I think, Keselowski, he said, mostly more than anything else, they were too tight early on in the race, but then they came back and Paul Wolff was able to make the adjustment to their car, and they really did well. He really bragged on Alex Bowman, Brad Keselowski did, and he also bragged on Kevin Harvick, really bragged on Bowman for running an incredible race. He said he kind of felt like he stole one from him. Of course, we've already talked a little bit about Eric Jones and what happened and so forth. Chase Elliott, he was kind of, la-di-da. It's okay. It was nice running in the top five. He had been leading laps if we didn't finish off, but it was unfortunate. But as you go on down the list, Kyle Larson finished in a great position this past weekend. He finished eighth. But he says he feels like the Hendrick guys are really close to winning right now. So he doesn't feel like he's close to winning, but he feels like he's had an 8th or 12th place car and that speed all year long, but he hasn't got to the finish yet. But now, to me, I think that Kyle is on to something there. Kyle Larson is talking about it, and he's saying that thing about the Hendrick guys are getting close to winning. I would agree with that. They're close to starting to dominate a little bit more, but we're going to have to see it in a more consistent fashion as it goes on through the season. And I think when they really get to that point is when the Chevrolets are going to combine together like they did. And that's been a sore spot for some of these teams over the last week after the Talladega race. And they were talking about they couldn't believe that Chevrolet combined together and said, we're all going to work together. Because NASCAR has kind of said, they'll do that sort of thing. They'll work together. But, Chevrolet has got everything to gain and nothing to lose by working together at this point, because Chevrolet has had a poor season last year. They've had a mediocre sort of season up here until the last two or three races, and they're starting to show a little bit of some burning desire to get to the winner's circle. Besides Chase Elliott winning at Talladega, they're looking at the Coke 600 as hopefully a chance for them to win a big race coming up. That'll be in 2 weeks on Memorial Day weekend. Things can only get better for Hendrick if they get closer toward the mid part of the season. it'll be interesting to see what the Chevrolets can pull off. And, you know, mostly the Chevrolet drivers, they were happy with the way things had went. Eric Almirola for the Smithfield car, the Ford Mustang of Stuart Haas Racing, they drove all the way from the back of the pack. Matter of fact, I will tell you this, Chris, 11 cars failed inspection before the beginning of the race on Saturday night in Kansas, and Eric Almirola was one of those 11 cars that put the back of the pack, but he managed to get back toward the front and finish 12th overall on the race. So, you know, that's an accomplishment in itself for the Stuart Haas team. But 11 cars altogether failing inspection, that was a big number. I was a little bit surprised with that number after it came out on Saturday night.
Yeah, well, they're paying attention, and they're going through with what they've talked about in terms of the sanctions. So that's good to see. Let's look ahead this weekend, All-Star Race weekend in Charlotte. So we have the big race, but also a lot of stuff going on around. Charlotte will be a fun place to be. It's one of the highlight events on the schedule for NASCAR in a season. So what can we look forward to with the All-Star Race this weekend?
Well, we'll get to see a second time. We'll get to see this aero package, and there will be some changes to the aero package. I'm sure some little tweaks and things that they have done overall in the season, but they will get to run this aero package one more time in Charlotte. The question is, how much of the car do you want to save this week at the All-Star race? I mean, these guys are not going to be bringing in their prime cars, so to speak, that they're going to be racing in Charlotte here in about 2 weeks, but they are going to be bringing their cars that are made for speed, and these are the cars that, you know, even though they may have some very nice paint jobs on them, and they may look extra spiffy under the lights of Charlotte Motor Speedway, these cars, these guys are going to be going for broke with their cars out there during the All-Star race. They'll keep it kind of, I guess, conservative for most of that first part of the race, but it will get interesting, especially toward the latter stages, as there will be some bumping and there'll be some rubbing. These guys are going to really go all out to try to come up with something on Saturday night, and then that's their hope to be able to learn something about the way that the groove of the track will be and how things will be. See, these guys will remember, this is going to be one part of it. They didn't race the entire full part of Charlotte Motor Speedway in September. We had the Roval race. They had the inside part of it. Now, there is no plans right now at this point to run the Roval race or to run anything similar to the Roval for the inside of the All-Star race. But these guys will get a chance to get back off the track. They'll see how things will be for Charlotte Motor Speedway this time around, and they'll take notes and be ready for the big race, because September coming up in 2 weeks on that Memorial Day weekend. So we'll see them pull out all the stops this coming Saturday, and we'll see all the stops pulled out on that Sunday following the Dakota 600. So it will be a very, very challenging race for some of these drivers.
Well, it sounds like a lot of fun, and so what we'll do is, Rod, we'll get back together next week. We'll break down that, and we'll look ahead to the next race on the schedule, so as we always do here. Well, thank you, Rod, for your time, and let's talk again next week.
Appreciate it, Chris. Thank you.